中すごいことになるので変わってくるのかもしれないですけど、それがまあいいなと思います。じゃあI can't even wear my false shirt. Anybody else?
There's somebody on the conference call. We're going to be starting. We'll be starting in a minute or two. Good evening, all. Please join me with Diana Bekoach. Ana Bekoach, Gedula Jemincha, Tati Tzera, Aleph Bet Gimel, Yud Tav Tzadi. These six letters have a gematria, a numerical value of 506, which is the same gematria as the phrase Ahavat Hinam, love for no reason, unconditional love. And that's the meditation to have when we're saying this verse. Kabel rinat amcha sagvenu taharenu. No ra. Kufre Shayan, Sintet Nun. Two three-letter Hebrew sequences that spell the words Kra Satan, tear up the Satan. The same letters can be rearranged to spell the words Sha'ar Katan, small gates, which is a reminder to stop and close off the small gate openings that we leave for the Satan to enter into our life. Be conscious of the small things in life, because that is how the negative forces get to us. Na gibor dorshe yehudcha Kivavat Shamrem. Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. Two three-letter Hebrew sequences. Nun Gimel Dalet has a gematria of 57, which is the Hebrew word zan, and zan means parnasah, sustenance. But sustenance in all areas of our life. Anything that we truly need is provided through this meditation. Yud Kaf Shin is the sequence that lets us take back the negative, or the take back the energy that we've given over to the negative forces. Barachem Tacharem Rakamei Sidkatcha Tamid Gamlein. Bet Tet Resh Tzadi Taf Gimel. The two letters for the month of Av, which is the month we are in now, the Kaf that created the planet we refer to as the Sun, and the Tet, which created the constellation of the astrological sign of Leo and the Hebrew month of Av. Hasin kadosh v'rov tuvcha na'el adatach het kuf bet tet nun ayin. Yachid ge'e lamcha p'nei zokrei kedushatach. Yud Gimel Lamed, Pei Zayin Kuf. These six letters form a Hebrew sequence of letters that help speed the spreading of the knowledge and wisdom of Kabbalah during this, the sixth millennium. Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadi Yud Taf. This sequence allows us to dream our dreams and manifest our dreams. This is the meditation that we should have, manifesting all the things that we wish in our lives. Do so in a sharing mode. Refer to the dreams of health for the world, parnassah for the world, specific items that you wish in your life for other people, healing for the person, people in the hospitals. And at the same time that that energy is helping and assisting them to heal, you will receive healing as well, because you are part of the we. And the last line we say silently, but I will say it out loud for the purposes of teaching. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Vaed. And now I will be reading from the Zohar. Vayihi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunanei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunaneihu Yireh Viyihi Ikara Limdichal Barnash Lemarei Begin the Ihu Rav Vishalit Ikara Vishasha de Kol Almin Vikola Kame Kila Kashivin Kima de Itmar Vikol Dare Ara Kila Kashivin Ushava Vute Vihahu Atar de Igre Yira. Please note for the transcribers that it's about 10 minutes, 10 seconds into the recording. And so everything before this does not need to be recorded unless it's easier for you to do so. The fear that is essential, genuine, occurs when a person fears his master, because he is almighty and governs all. Because he is the main source and essence of all worlds, and everything that exists is as nothing compared to him. As it is written, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, a verse from Daniel chapter 4. And a person should concentrate his desires to that place which he called fear. There's a verse in Psalms, or in Proverbs, that says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. The translation of the word yirah can be either fear or awe. And it's easier to understand the verse in Psalms that the beginning of wisdom is the awe of Hashem. If we look all around the world and we see so many different peoples, so many different character traits, so many different species of animals, so many different species of plants, and they're all created by the one Creator, this is the beginning of appreciation and true awe of God, which we call Hashem. The beginning of wisdom starts with appreciating how awesome God truly is, how much greater and higher than we are is the Creator. 191 in the prologue. For those of you on the conference call, the way to ask questions during the class is to touch the keys, the star and the number 6, and that will unmute your phone and allow you to be heard, so go ahead and ask questions at any time. Tonight is the first class of a beginning Kabbalah class. Feel free to invite your friends to continue with these classes. Tonight is a basic introductory class, and next week is really the beginning of the information that will allow you to make changes in your life to remove the chaos in your life. Tomorrow night, the conference call will be an advanced class, and you're all invited to attend and participate, but you may find that it's easier to wait a few weeks before you start that class to get some sense of what we are doing in Kabbalah. Thursday night, the class is a reading from the Zohar, and I recommend each and every one of you to participate in that class. You'll find that energy to be very beneficial for your week and your life. Before we begin, does anybody have any questions? One further announcement. The handouts that I'm going to be giving out tonight in the class is available online at the beta website, which I believe all of you have received an email with that link. But if not, please email me, and I will send it to you. But every handout and afterwards, every recording will be available to download directly from the link within the website. And that's on the Hidden Wisdom section of the website. So if you go to the original homepage and click on the link that says Hidden Wisdom, and then follow it down to Class 1, you'll be able to have all of the handouts and all of the recordings. There will be this recording as well as some of the previous recordings that I've done in earlier classes. And depending on your time schedule, I recommend you listen to all of them because each class is different. Each class is heard differently. And each class is given different information because it's not, Kabbalah is not a static science. It's an evolving wisdom. And so depending on who is here, who is in the class, will change how the wisdom is presented. The wisdom is truth. The wisdom is the same. But how people hear it will change. Again, before we start, does anybody have any questions? Okay. If you have done this before, please don't give it out. But there's a certain reason why I hand out this puzzle test at the beginning of this first class. And that's to help people understand some things. So take a minute and count the number of S in the sentence. I'm going to read it into the conference call. The sentence is, finished files are the result of years of scientific study combined with the experience of years. Count the number of S in that sentence. Yes. Fernando, are you ready?
Okay.
Edison, you said there's six. Fernando, how many do you think? Five. Let's go over it together. There's one F in the word finished. The second F in files. The third F is in the word of. The fourth F is in the word of, before scientific. The fifth F is in scientific. The sixth is in the word of, before years. You were right, there are six. Most people who have English as a second language do get it correct. People who are, like Fernando, who's using English as part of his work, has fallen into the bad habits of making the F sound in the word of as a V. And therefore, when we start counting Fs, we don't see the F, we see a V, because that's the sound we make in our mind. The purpose of presenting this to you is to give you some insight into what is Kabbalah. The question that I'm raising for you is, what is the purpose, or how do we see the world around us? How do we connect to the world around us? The simple answer to that is, we connect to the world around us through our senses, through our sight, through our hearing, through our taste, through our smell, through our touch. Five senses. But each of those senses distort the world around us. Each of those senses do not clearly see the world around us. I cannot prove that to you. So we're going to start out with rule number one. Never believe anything that I say in any of these classes. I'm going to ask you to try some of the things I suggest in these classes. But never believe me. Never do it because I say so. Do it because you need to experience the world around you. Do it because you prove it to yourself through your senses and through your experiences of doing the things that I suggest. We have six F's. But it's easy to make a mistake. We see the world in ways that are distorted. First off, our vision, science tells us that we see upside down, that the eye takes a picture, that the light coming in from the bottom of something we're looking at is going to the top of our eye. And the top of the object we're looking at goes into the bottom of our eye. And it takes our mind to turn that back around so that we can see it right side up. This leaves a room for distortion. We're not seeing the world the way it is. We're seeing it distorted, upside down. That science teaches us is normal. But we need to ask the question in Kabbalah, why is that normal? Why did God create the eye to see in that way? We know that some animals don't see that way. The eye of a bee has so many different lenses that they do not see the same way we do. Our vision is distorted. Another aspect of that distortion in the frame of vision, how many of us can see an infrared ray? How many can see at night as clearly as we can during the day? There are animals who are capable of that. So it's not like God wasn't capable of creating us that way. Why did he create us in this way, where we are distorting the world around us? These statements are true for every aspect of our senses. Every aspect of our senses do not see, hear, touch, taste, or smell clearly. Each of them is distorted. Can I prove that to you? I don't need to. You will prove it to yourself if you just think about it and take a look at each of these senses and understand that it is not coming to us directly. We are distorting it. We are interpreting it between our nerve endings that are represented by the senses, whether it's touch or taste or smell. They are impacted, affected by our nerve endings. But all of those senses, all of those electrical impulses from the nerve ending goes to our mind, to our brain, where it has to be interpreted. And how does our mind interpret it? As we saw from this exercise in the first sentence, our mind interprets it the way we want it to, not necessarily the way it is. Edison counted the F's properly. He looked at each letter individually because his background, for him, English is a second language. So when he reads English, he has to look more carefully. Fernando, and I, for myself, when I took this test initially, I was all over the map. Because for me, the word of, O-F, sounds like O-V. So when I was counting, I was looking at the words, not the letters. Because that's the way my mind is used to doing things. That's the pattern and the habits that I had developed. Kabbalah is a Hebrew word that means to receive. When we are unconscious of what we do, we receive what we expect to receive. When we are conscious of what we do, we can change what we receive to be only beneficence, only goodness. No, I will not prove this statement to you, but 15 weeks from now, 3 months from now, 6 months from now, you will prove that to yourself. Kabbalah comes out of Judaism, but that's really a false statement. The Creator created our world and us and everything in it for a purpose. How do we know that the Creator has a purpose? Because could it be that this world was created coincidentally as a happenstance, as something that just happened? I'll leave you to answer that question for yourself. And if you answer it by saying, yes, it is a coincidence, it is a happenstance, that does not change your ability to utilize the tools that are built into Kabbalah. Because God, who is the Creator, and we will stop using the word God shortly, because it doesn't describe anything. I'm not communicating to you when I use the word God, because what I mean by the word God is not the same thing that you mean by the word God. And Kabbalah is very explicit in its language. It's just as accurate in its use of language as a mathematical equation. The mathematical equation, 1 plus 1 equals 2, 5 times 5 is 25, A plus B minus C is equal to Z, are very clear definitions. We will all know what A is, what B is, what C is, what Z is. And there will be no misunderstandings. The language of Kabbalah is just that strong, just that accurate. And yet, the language of Kabbalah is describing spiritual things, not physical things. But that comes as part of the lesson tonight, and each and every lesson. We'll talk about it a little bit more, but let's start with an understanding. The world was created, whether as happenstance or as a thought in the mind of the Creator. The Creator created the world, and Kabbalah teaches that the Creator had a purpose. Whether you believe the statement I make from this point forward or not, Kabbalah teaches that the Creator's purpose was to share goodness with its creations, was to share its essence, which is only good and perfect, with its creations. If the Creator is only sharing goodness, why do we have so much chaos in our world? Next week, when we talk about the history of the world, we'll come to understand what went wrong. And even then come to understand that what went wrong is not really wrong. I'm using words, but they're English words. They're words that don't really have the same meaning to each person who hears them. So let's delve a little bit more into this discussion. The Creator created the world to share goodness with its creations. There is a Creator, and there is a creation. Can I know anything about the Creator if I am a creation? What can I know about the Creator? The cause is the Creator, The effect is the creations. I'm a creation. I'm an effect. I cannot interfere with the Creator. I can't change what the Creator does. So, how do I change my life? What does Kabbalah teach us about how to change our life? Kabbalah teaches the Creator created the physical world for a purpose of sharing goodness. What is goodness? There are people in this world, God forbid, chas v'shalom, there are people in this world who enjoy masochism, who enjoy sadism. What do I mean by those terms? They enjoy hurting other people. God forbid. That's not the Creator, according to Kabbalah. What is goodness? Goodness is fulfillment of a desire. Definition. Does that what you mean when you say goodness? The language of Kabbalah, called the language of branches, defines goodness as the fulfillment of your desire. You were created as a desire to receive the goodness of the Creator. That was the thought of creation. That's the effect of creation. And that's what happens every instant of every moment of the creation. Somehow that pinprick, that scratch when I'm shaving myself, that falling down and cutting my knee doesn't feel like it's a desire that I had, that I wanted to have accomplished, that I wanted it to happen. Doesn't feel like it's a fulfilled desire. It's painful. Are you telling me that Kabbalah teaches that you want the pain? No, Kabbalah doesn't teach that you want the pain. But Kabbalah does teach that the pain comes to you to wake you up. That every instant of every day, the Creator is recreating you. And every instant of every day, as part of the goodness, the Creator gave you free choice, which means the opportunity to make a mistake. And the effect of making a mistake is sometimes the Creator needs to send you a message. Wake up, you're going down the wrong path. And that's why you have these incidences of accidental shaving mistake or a toothache that comes out of nowhere or a scratched knee or touching a hot stove for a little baby as part of the learning process. These are mistakes, but in the overall analysis, these mistakes are part of learning and therefore really good. Because if I don't learn, I don't grow. And if I don't grow, I don't change. And if I don't change, I cannot assist the Creator in the creation and in achieving the perfection of the creation. And that's what Kabbalah teaches us. Kabbalah does not come out of Judaism, and yet Kabbalah is an inherent part of Judaism. There are millions of religions in the world. The Torah is not a religion. The Bible is not a religion. Each and every human being is created as a desire to receive. That desire to receive has a central core desire. We all love other people. That's a reflection of our central core desire, which is to be close to the Creator. One way we can be close to the Creator is to learn to share. And that's what love represents between a husband and a wife, a parent and a child, one man and another man, one woman and another woman, different levels of fondness, of love, are reflections of our core desire to be close to the Creator. Cannot prove this to you, but you will prove it to yourself. You will prove it to yourself by experiencing God. That's what the Bible is. It is a message, a set of rules on how to experience God. There are 6.5 billion souls on this earth today. Maybe 6,500,432. But we'll round it up and call it 6.5 billion. Because I don't know of anybody who's taken the census. But the Creator does know. And that's one of the teachings of Kabbalah. Just because I don't know the answer does not mean that the answer is not available to me. It's like if I were to flip a coin and ask you to call it in the air, heads or tails, and then I grab it out of the air and slam it on my arm and covered it with my hand so no one can see what the result of the coin flip is. Is it heads or is it tails? You don't know, but you do know that there is an answer to that question because the coin has stopped flipping. Therefore, it's either heads or tails. Which it is, you don't know, but it is known to something. It is known to the coin itself. It is known to the hand if my sense of touch was sensitive enough. But it isn't known to people who are looking, trying to see through the hand. All answers to all questions, / all answers to all problems, are known. Just because I don't know the solution to my problem right now at this instance does not mean the answer isn't known. And it doesn't mean that I can reach that answer, that I can connect to that answer and know what is the right / good thing to do. Hashem is sharing goodness. Our ability to connect to that information is based on the number of veils that we've created in our life. How separated have we become from that true desire to be close to God, to be close to Hashem. In Hebrew, God has many names, just as he does in English. But we refer to the God in English as God or the Creator. In Hebrew, it's much more defined. There's the name Elohim, which represents God and his frame of judgment. There's the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, the Tetragrammaton, which represents the attribute of God in his frame of mercy. There is the name Shaddai. There is the name Kel. There is the name Adonai, which means my Lord. There are other attributes of God, of Hashem. The attribute of love is the word in Hebrew, Ahava. That sequence of letters, Ahava, is a name of God. Kabbalah teaches us that we cannot know the Creator. But whatever we can name, define, connect to, is an attribute of the Creator. So, Ahava, love, is an attribute of the Creator. Anger is an attribute of the Creator. No, it's not. The Creator is only goodness. Anger is an attribute of the negative side, which in our world of illusion looks like there's two creators. There's the Creator of goodness and the Creator of evil. But that's an illusion. There's only one Creator. And that Creator gave us a book called the Bible that allows us to know what is the right thing to do. Now, that book is a rule book. That book is a book of stories. That book is a book of numbers. Every Hebrew letter has a number associated with it. Every word has a number associated with it. That's called gematria. The study of the Bible includes all of those attributes, all of those aspects. That's what Kabbalah is, but for a purpose, a simple purpose of understanding what is the good thing for me to do in any given situation. Now, every human being over the course of time has had different experiences. And each of those experiences, that rule book is there for them to know what to do. So the rule book needed to be coded. It needed to be concealed in a way that people needed to struggle to find the answer. That's the revelation of Kabbalah. People in every generation were higher, more evolved, more connected. Those people were able to see a more expansive part of the creation. And those people were able to write down an understanding, an insight, a lesson. That's the study of Kabbalah. Kabbalah means to receive. What are we here to receive? The goodness of the Creator. How to receive that? Do we receive that goodness? By studying his rules. But his rules are limitations. How can that be good? So let's use the metaphor. Pick any sports game. Baseball, football, soccer, bowling. Pick any sports game, golf, and imagine that you have the best, most skilled players for that game. And you have given them the best equipment possible for that game. And you put them in a stadium to play that game. But you forgot to give them the rule book. What kind of game do you think you would have? Would the pitcher throw the ball at the batter in baseball? Would the goalkeeper stay in his box and not know to use his hands to stop the ball in soccer? Would the 11 members of the football team know that a forward pass is part of the rules? What kind of football game, soccer match, golf match, tennis match, what kind of game would you have? A very chaotic game. A game that is, you have all the skills and all the tools, but you don't know what the rules are. You have a chaotic game. Look around our world. What do we see? A life filled with chaos. A life where people have forgotten the rules. A life where people never knew the rules. Because the rule book was given to us in a revelation. A revelation of the goodness of God in a way that's very concealed and coded. That's what we call the Bible. That's what we call the Torah. The Torah is made up of three parts. There is the Chumash, the five books of Moses. There are the Nevi'im, the prophets. Isaiah, Ezekiel, Hezekiel, Joel, Jeremiah. And there is the writings, the Ketuvim, the book of Job, the book of Esther, the book of Tehillim, the book of Psalms, the book of Proverbs, Lamentations. There are 24 books in the Tanakh, the three parts of the Torah, the three parts of the Bible. Each of those comes to teach us different aspects of the Creator. Each of them are coded in different ways. Each of us comes to understand them in our specific way. We need teachers. I had a teacher. I have more than one teacher. I have studied Kabbalah for 18 years or more. I will continue to study Kabbalah Bezrat Hashem with the help of God for the rest of my life. For the sole purpose of the more I learn, the more goodness I know how to receive, the closer I can become to the Creator, which is what each and every one of us has a desire for. Each and every one of us has a desire for that connection to the Creator. Don't believe a word I say. Test it for yourself over the next 3 to 6 months and see if the wisdom of Kabbalah helps you remove and reduce the chaos in your life. If it doesn't, this may not be the path for you. If it does, I promise you, you will forget that it is the path for you, because that's the tools that the negative side were given, the ability to veil our senses, to corrupt the way we see the world. But through the study of the Bible, the study of the Torah, we can continue to reconnect so those veils don't work as well as they did, until ultimately the veils are totally removed and we see the ultimate truth of the Creator. That's the purpose of the Bible, of the Torah, of the rule book of life. That's the purpose of Kabbalah, to understand those rules. Kabbalah teaches that we have been given 6,000 years to achieve a certain level of consciousness, a certain level of understanding that all of the world's religions refer to as the time of the Messiah, the Mashiach in Hebrew. We are in the year 5769, and during the month of September, we will go into the year 5770. The Mashiach has 230 years left for us to bring him with peace, or at the end of 6,000, it will come with chaos. Those are what's prophesied in the book of Nevi'im, the book of prophets, all of the different prophets. I'm going to read chapter 3 of Joel. You can look it up. Know that there are corruptions in all of the Bibles that we have in our world. The Christians took the Jewish Bible and call it an Old Testament, but they've rearranged it. It's not the same. Know that the translation into any language other than Hebrew lessens the energy, veils as much as it reveals. But I'm going to give you some insights into how Kabbalah explains the understanding of what is the Messiah. Because Kabbalah is here to help us achieve that knowledge, that wisdom of Mashiach consciousness. The person we call the Mashiach will come. We have it prophesied. It will come with chaos, or it will come with peace. Which path it comes is up to us. Kabbalah and the wisdom of Kabbalah wants to bring it with peace and without chaos. That is the reason why I teach it. That is the reason why my teacher taught it to me. It is to be brought that way. But every person has free choice to learn it or not to learn it. Joel chapter 3, verse 1. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your elders shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. A description of meditation. A description of connection to God. Connection to the ultimate Creator. This is a promise, a prophecy, that all will have this connection. Kabbalah will help you achieve that connection. Verse 2, and even upon the slaves and the maidservants in those days will I pour out my spirit. A slave and a maidservant is a consciousness of someone who has not achieved the highest level they're capable of. Being a son is higher than being a slave. We all can reach the level of being sons and daughters to the Creator. But in the process, we learn to be slaves. We learn to be maidservants. But even that level, people who do not achieve the highest, will still have the connection to the Creator on a different level. Verse 3, and I will perform signs in the heavens and on the earth, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. Joel is describing the Messiah in this verse that comes with chaos. It does not have to come that way. The study of Kabbalah, as we'll learn, will allow you to avoid that chaos. Those who choose not to study, those who choose to stay asleep, those who choose to see that just because the energy of today was the same as the energy of yesterday, chaos and craziness and running after the physical world instead of doing the spiritual work, those who follow that path and say it will continue to be tomorrow, that's a mistake. The choice is yours. The energy will change. Study it, do it consciously, connect to spirituality consciously, and you can avoid these brimstone pillars of smoke and other forms of chaos. Verse 4, the sun shall turn to darkness and the moon to blood prior to the coming of the great and awesome day of Hashem. Another verse referring to chaos, which we do not have to manifest. Verse 5, and it shall come to pass that whoever shall call in the name of the Hashem shall be delivered. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as Hashem said, and survivors whom Hashem invites. The chaos, as promised in verse 5, does not have to manifest in anyone's life. If they learn the rules in the rule book, if they learn to connect to God, if they learn to call upon the name of God, that's what Kabbalah will teach. That's what Kabbalah will help you learn. That's what the purpose of these classes is, to give people information. It is up to the person to transform the information into knowledge. Commodities trader reading that there's a monsoon in China sitting in Chicago. He's read in his newspaper information that there's a monsoon in China. I read that same article. For me, it's interesting information. There's a monsoon in China. For a commodities trader who's trading in rice futures, knowledge that there's a monsoon in China, he can change that information into knowledge and experience it, act upon it, make a purchase in the commodities futures market. can manifest prophets in his life. He can manifest spiritual knowledge from that information. Understanding the difference between information and knowledge is what one will learn by studying Kabbalah. Next week, we will talk about world history from a Kabbalistic perspective. We will come to understand what took place in the spiritual frames before a physical world was manifested. We will come to understand some of the current physics theories and how Kabbalah has taught these for thousands of years. Science is just catching up. And yet in our world today, science is king. If I cannot explain myself scientifically, I'm not going to be accepted. And yet, science is a limitation. Kabbalah is much broader. Kabbalah teaches the spiritual, while science measures the physical. Next week, we'll learn more about that. Does anybody have any questions? It's good for you to read it. It's best to read it in Hebrew. If you can't understand it or read it in Hebrew because you don't read Hebrew, looking at the Hebrew letters is beneficial. The book I brought tonight is called the Tanakh. This green book that I read from tonight is a $25 to $40 purchase at a Jewish bookstore or online. It has all of the wisdom of the Tanakh, all of the Chumash, the five books of Moses, all of the prophets, all of the writings in both the original Hebrew and in English translation. It has it in an Italian translation. It has it in Spanish translations. Whatever you are comfortable with, I recommend you get the book step by step. Start with it. It is good to read it, but know that what you are reading is coded. You need an explanation of the code. It's not clear. Some of it even contradicts each other. Like the prophecy that says there's going to be chaos, and the prophecy of Isaiah that says the lamb will lie down with the lion. How do we understand these two things? I gave you some insight tonight. There are two paths to the Messiah. One is chaotic, and one is peaceful. Which path an individual human being takes is their free choice. I choose the path of peace. I invite you to make that same choice, consciously, with understanding. Any other questions? Good night. Tomorrow night at 10 p.m., we will have an advanced class on the conference call. Good night all. Have a beautiful evening and day.